This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, folks. This month of August is really just screaming by, right? It's already Labor Day weekend that we face this weekend. A lot of football coming up, too. Preseason over for the Saints. Two-week hiatus, and the Saints take on the Carolina Panthers at home, if my memory serves me correct. And that will happen on September the 8th. And so we're looking forward to that as well as they break down to the final 53-man roster. LSU plays Sunday in Las Vegas against the University of Southern Cal Trojans. Big opening game for them as well. Brian Kelly's actually struggled a little bit in these big opening games, so it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen this weekend. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it. Love watching some college football over the weekend. Was ready for that as well. So very excited about the upcoming weekend and very excited about today's show. We're going to visit with Guy Williams at 12 o'clock, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about the Jackson Hole meeting and the remarks by Chairman Powell. And we'll talk also about all of the details on the new rules on real estate commissions, the Taylor Swift Facebook ticket fraud, the collapse of the fintech Synapse Bank, leaving millions of investor dollars stranded. How did that happen? And we'll talk about the jobs market and other issues as well. At 11:30, Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member District A, joins us. We'll get the latest with the Sewage and Water Board from the council's perspective, billing issues and Entergy outages as well. At 11, Sheriff Joe LoPinto releases his first 6 months of 2024 crime stats. We'll break those down. And at 10:30, Daniel Gitlin, Public Information Officer for the New Orleans Area North Shore Department of Transportation and Development. National attention. We've got these bridges, Highway 90 bridges. Remember going out to the east? As you head out there, there's a series of bridges. Well, they're all historic. Interesting. And the federal government will pay you to remove those bridges, but you can't salvage it. It's got to be for reuse. We'll talk about how this is going to work and what it is that the State Department of Transportation is trying to accomplish. A lot of breaking news over the weekend. The Democratic National Convention is over. That little bit of a honeymoon has come to an end. We are hearing more and more how Kamala Harris is saying that she is going to have her first interview. I guess a lot of people are waiting with bated breath for who, when, why, how that will occur. What will she be willing to reveal? Because she hasn't revealed much thus far. So things are heating up. Meanwhile, the bureaucracy continues to do things in such a fashion that work to the benefit of the Biden-Harris administration. As we wind down that administration and also winding up the possibility of a Harris administration, you will recall that we talked about the CHNV parole program that the Department of Immigration engaged in Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela. where they started this quasi-legal status. These folks don't have a visa. They don't have anything. Basically, they get a sponsor, and, you know, the government waves a magic wand, right, by executive order, executive action, right? Remember, Joe Biden said he couldn't do anything, but he did this. And it worked out that it was really successful because it took a lot of pressure off the border because we were just waving them in and allowing them to come to this country, fly to this country, not have to do anything, get off the plane, and they would hurriedly just rush them through and release them into the interior of this country. Well, they had to shut it down temporarily because they found so much fraud and abuse that it was embarrassing. When there was an audit conducted of this program, it was crazy. They found that 100 IP addresses were used when filling out these applications online on more than 51,000 financial support applications. Only 100 IP addresses, but 51,000 applications were filled out. A single address in Tijuana, Mexico was used 1,328 times. And then when they started looking at the sponsor names, 3,200 people filed 100,000 sponsor applications. That means each purported to sponsor more than 30 migrants, right? Then in the backdrop of this program, we find out that the smugglers, the human traffickers, were selling financial support affidavits for the low price of $5,000, right? These folks were economically down and out and paying $5,000. And in Nicaragua, I guess it's a little, they had a little more inflation there or whatever, $6,000 to Nicaraguan broker who was connecting with financial sponsors, which, by the way, the applicant and the sponsor, there was absolutely no connection. And in fact, they found NGOs, non-government organizations, who thrive on federal sustenance dollars in what they do, wrapped up with a bunch of these applications. Why? They're making money. It's all about the Benjamins. That's what this is all about. It's one of the reasons nobody wants any of this to go away. The more screwed up it is, the better off it is for everybody. Everybody's making money at the border, but you, I, and everything, we're just paying the bill. We pay the taxes. So they put this program on hiatus, right? Because they got this fraud problem. Well, they just announced the other day it's coming back. And they got a new idea. They put out a call. Listen to this. So they had experts in their field that were managing this the first time, right? People that had been trained, had institutional knowledge in this program and all of what's going on in ICE and this and that. So now they come out and they're asking for volunteers, federal employees to volunteer for this program, and they'll get overtime pay, they'll get extra points for something that goes within the federal labor agreement or whatever it may be. I haven't been able to figure this out either. But they're going to get enormous for volunteering for this program. And the agency, the USCIS Chief Human Capital Officer, said the agency wants volunteers by the end of this week. So this is an overdrive, right? Because they probably already have intelligence information to reveal that this little hiatus that they had was going to begin to put pressure back on the border. And that cannot happen, not for the sake of the Harris-Waltz administration, because we're in the midst of a campaign. God forbid. If we not try and hide all of this and remove the blister from one place to another for the benefit of winning an election, right? Now, this is the big problem, though. So this detail that you're signing up for, it's for 180 days, right? due to math, it's right about the time that Joe Biden's going to be, a little later than the time that Joe Biden's going to be walking out of the door, right? And they're probably figuring that Kamala Harris is going to win, so they give him a little overlap to get some breathing room so that when they do come in to office, they'll have some breathing room as to be able to figure out what they're going to do, how they're going to continue this. I'm sure it's going to get tied up in court, maybe, hopefully, because this is an absolute joke. Because this administration has not provided not one shred, not one iota of evidence as to how they are going to appropriately remediate the breakdown in the system that led to the finding of fraud and abuse in the first place. So they don't offer any comment about how this program is going to be better with neophyte volunteers who know nothing about the process and have not been trained in how to detect immigration fraud. It was a debacle even with those that had been trained in detecting immigration fraud, much less those that have not been trained. I mean, this is crazy world USA here, right? So they're going to go through with this. They're not telling anybody anything. These folks are supposed to have financial sponsors in the U.S. who will vouch for them before arriving, actually, to these American airports. And it's going to be interesting to see what has happened. DHS has simply said they have review mechanisms in place to detect and prevent fraud and abuse in our immigration processes. Really? Well, you had those before you found the fraud. Doesn't that tell you something? You're going to try the same thing over again in the hope of not having any fraud? That's insanity. So no one is talking about what happened the first time. Why didn't they deal with any of these issues at all the first time? And still yet, they're not talking about it at all. I mean, it's amazing to me that we allow, and you want to talk about this bureaucracy and how this works here. It's amazing to me that we would allow this to happen again with no justification as to whether or not there's any other safeguards that are put into place to prevent fraud and abuse here. Meanwhile, the human traffickers are just making more money. They're loving this. They are absolutely loving the policies that we are putting in place down there, because we've created more and more opportunities for them to just game the system. They are one step ahead of us at every turn. At every turn. And they're making $5,000 and $6,000 and $7,000 and $10,000, $15,000 a clip, leveraging and abusing the processes, or lack thereof, that we put in place. And everybody believes that by adopting immigration reform that all of this is going to go away. That's not happening. That's not happening. Because the moment in time you start creating all the exceptions that were in that bill as well, and has appeared in almost every attempt to reform immigration, what you have done is you've created loopholes for them to be able to exploit. Everyone knows this. This is a wink-wink game. That's why all of these attempts at these reforms are laughable. They're a joke. Because they're not serious about this. And unless and until we get serious about illegal immigration, we will never be in a position to increase the amount of legal immigration to this country, which is more meaningful and more helpful to our economy in so many different ways. But you can't increase the legal side and not continue to do nothing on the illegal side, playing at it. But when you talk about fleecing America nothing should upset you more than this next story that was revealed over the weekend. First, there was a story that was posted in the New York Times. Then there was a story published in other publications talking about this issue in a much broader sense. And it was kind of interesting the way that this is being piecemealed out. So you probably saw Kamala Harris's brother-in-law at the DNC. He's married to her sister, Maya, right? So back in 1977, there was a law here in the United States that Congress had to approve any settlement of a civil suit against the federal government over $100,000. Well, that seemed to be very burdensome for Congress. There was the volume of suits were growing, and Congress didn't want to have to deal with this. They found it to be a little trivial. Well, little did they know. So they removed the cap, which handed the Justice Department a permanent blank check to pay settlements unilaterally in any amount out of an account known as the Judgment Fund. So it had been run by the Treasury Department for a number of years. No one can really find out much of anything about this fund. Can't find out about what lawyers were paid. Can't find out what litigants were paid out of this. Everything is a really big secret. The data, when it does get released, it blackouts the recipients, actually the facts of the case, and the lawyers involved. I mean, this is crazy. We're funding it, and the folks that fund it can find out nothing. And by statute, attorney's fees awarded cannot be disclosed. The Government Accountability Office conducted a study, and they found that no one knows the number of claims processed by the federal government each year. This has been going on for decades. And we just had to rely on the integrity of the Justice Department to prevent abuse. Well, in 2009, Tony West took over the department's civil division. Tony West is Maya Harris's husband, Kamala Harris's brother-in-law. So when he arrived, he had his deputy email colleagues asking, his deputy emailed colleagues asking, can you explain to Tony the best way to allocate some money toward an organization of our choosing? So you had litigants that were suing the federal government. The federal government, when they prevailed, the scheme is that they were going to start constructing the judgment and or settlement to benefit some NGO not-for-profits. And guess what? Not a single one was a conservative-leaning organization. It mostly progressive organizations. An example was in 2010, after a Supreme Court victory, DOJ lawyers were on the cusp of winning a decade-long fight against discrimination claims by 91 Hispanic and female farmers. West intervenes, as the New York Times puts it, and engineered a stunning turnabout. The deal inflated the number of claimants, and it created a $60 million windfall for the plaintiff's lead lawyer, who just so happened to be a member of the Obama-Biden transition team. Go figure. And then in a series of bank litigation and bank settlements, his team increasingly became aggressive by putting provisions requiring that these institutions make nearly $1 billion in mandatory donations to Democrat-supporting activist groups. And these donations were given double credit against required targets. So they outlined targets in the agreement. And if you gave donations to their preferences, you got more points towards the number of points that you had to achieve to successfully meet the targets that were laid out in the judgment and or the settlement. So it incentivized these banks to make these payments, right? And they structured these to ensure that, Of course, they would only benefit their political allies. And as I pointed out earlier, conservative groups got nada. And an internal email shows that West and his group, they were rewording a settlement's donation provisions to ensure the bank could not, in fact, even if the bank wanted to, give to a conservative organization as a recipient, they could not do it. And this became really big business for this group managing this fund. And it continued on and on and on and on. And basically, this is really a legal shakedown, right? I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. When Trump took office, amazingly, maybe not, he eliminated this whole fund. His then attorney general banned the settlement fund. One of the first things that Biden-Harris did when he was elected was to rescind that ban. And today, these misdirected appropriations out of this fund are alive and well. This gives you the flavor and the backdrop and the background of why this bureaucracy continues to flourish, is that you've got all of these back deals, side deals going on. You know what's amazing? When you start digging more and more, you find all of these incestuous relationships that are going on. And guess who has been written about in the last 2 weeks of being one of the top advisors to Kamala Harris? You got it. Tony West. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Daniel Gitlin, Public Information Officer, New Orleans Area North Shore Department of Transportation and Development. They have bridges for sale. It was kind of unusual when I saw the headlines of this story. I started scratching my head and said, don't ever recall bridges being for sale ever by the state. And he's here to tell us why. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a thrill to be on the show. And I just want to say, you know, I've grown up here and I really appreciate everything you've done in the public sector, and now you're doing great on the radio. Really appreciate it. It's really a thrill to be here. What I can tell you is this is a standard process that is involved with the Federal Highway Association when bridges are can be applied to be added to a national registry of historic places. And once recognized as a historic bridge, there are certain criteria that the state goes through, including once a bridge is no longer can no longer serve that transportation purpose anymore, we go out and we mark it. And if you would, to use a football term, you know, put on waivers, basically, we offer the bridges to anyone who wants to make a claim on them. And there are certain criteria to go through. if the bridges are not claimed within that 90-day period, we do go ahead and remove them ourselves. So the bridges will be removed, but this is a special way to sort of see if there any if anyone out there wants to make a claim.
Daniel, what makes these bridges historic? Just their age?
A couple things. Age is part of it. These are pre-1970s bridges. These are all from 1933, the Huey P. Long administration. Also, just the significance of what they meant to the state. Also, you know, the design of the bridges. All those things come into play here. This was a monumental achievement, basically, to build these bridges in 1933 over over a swamp, wetlands area, and it cut several miles off of the route from Bay St. Louis to New Orleans. It was a feat at the time. It really was. And these bridges, you know, there's 150 historical bridges in the state. Only 70 of them are movable bridges. And as far as the West Pearl Bridge, it's a vertical lift bridge, and there are only 30 of those bridges that are around. So there's different criteria that go into it. The biggest part of it is recognizing the history of these bridges and the people who built them, how they went into our transportation infrastructure here in the state. So there's several different reasons.
The bridge itself, obviously the federal government would assist in paying whoever decides that they have an interest in the bridge for relocation, but there are some restrictions as to what the bridge can be used for, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't disassemble the bridge. You can't use it for vehicular traffic. Obviously, it's been deemed not safe for that reason. It's pretty open, though, as far as what opportunities we would make available. The idea is to, give these bridges reuse, to keep them within the community. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. You know, these are large structures. If someone wants to make a claim to them, they have to exhibit how they would safely remove the bridges. So, you know, we were talking about the federal government will reimburse you for that, the cost to move the bridges. But you do have to have, some resources up front to move them. Some of these bridges, they have lead paint on them that has to be removed, that type of thing. As far as the West Pearl Bridge, 110 feet. The other bridges are just pony bridges, but they are still, over 500 feet. They can be broken down. It would have to be a substantial company or individual with really great means to be able to help us out.
Yeah, I mean, those things got to be pretty damn heavy. I mean, it's not like you just show up with a regular old crane and lift it and stick it on the back of a trailer somewhere, right?
Yeah. No, it's not like we get a U-Haul truck and throw a rope out there. The most important part is that these bridges have to be taken down very carefully because of the environmental concerns. We don't want anything getting into the waterways that goes out to the Gulf. So that's very, very important. Does a big company want to come in that has money to spend and show that they are environmental partners? Off the top of my head, I think the most likely case would be maybe an oil company wants to come in and sort of be a partner to us and take the bridges out. Maybe they might have the land or the resources to keep them up for public viewing, that type of thing. It would have to be something somewhat extraordinary like that. But I think we're very hopeful that we can get some ideas. We I spoke to someone this morning who was interested in perhaps making artificial reefs out of the bridges. So, you know, we've gotten such great publicity this time around on this, and I'm so grateful to all of the news organizations and people who want to talk about it. It gives people a real understanding of how their government works and how these historical programs work. And just behind the scenes, there's so many hardworking men and women at DOTD who are involved in the environmental process, who work every day to try to make everything that we do so our footprint isn't detrimental at all to the state. So I think it's just neat to see the reaction. Obviously, sort of tongue in cheek, who wants to come get a bridge? I get that. But you know what? You know, maybe the word will get out. We will find someone who can use them. That would be a fabulous thing. And as I said, if not, you know, at least we're recognizing the bridges and the history behind them, and DOTD will go ahead and safely remove them from the waterways so we can move on.
Daniel, is this a case of first instance for the Department of Transportation and Development?
As far as have we done it before?
Yeah.
We have. No, we've done this a couple times. We actually had a success with this in the past with the Bayou Test Bridge at Oak Lawn, which was an individual from the community did claim that bridge. He's putting it on private property that can be seen. There was discussions about the Leo Kerner Swing Bridge in Lafitte. Mm-hmm. There was talk with the city. It just ended up being too difficult to make that happen. Again, it takes a lot of money and resources to sort of get through that first step of taking the bridge off of where it is. But we do have a tremendous, as I said, there are 150 historical bridges in the state. A lot of them were built in the 1930s. A lot of them are post-World War II bridges that were built in the 50s and the 60s. So this type of opportunity we're going to see coming up more and more frequently as these bridges can no longer give us that safe transportation purpose. We have an aging infrastructure here in New Orleans. We're very reliant on things like our bridges. So we're going to see this more. Hopefully we can get some reuse for these bridges that have really done us well. These are unbelievable structures that we use highly over and over again. And what people may not realize is, you know, these bridges move. I mean, they open and close and raise, and because of the marine traffic that goes through them. You may not see it because, you know, there's curfews during rush hours, so they may not open then. But there are people who live in the little, you know, they don't live in the little houses, excuse me. They work in the little houses that are attached to them, and they work with a marine traffic, which is so important for our economy here in Louisiana. So, this is a big part of what we do, and hopefully now that the word has gotten out, next time we may be able to get some really good responses.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the bridges. I cross them a lot, especially during the duck hunting season, because I hunted out that way, and it was the shortest and fastest way to get to the lease was to actually take Highway 90. So if no one takes advantage of this program, what does the state end up doing with the bridge?
We go ahead and put in a project to remove them. It is a complicated process. The federal government goes ahead and gives us about 80% of what the cost is, but it goes out to the bidding process, and it will go through some special steps because of the environmental concerns, so you'll have environmental overview on it, but contractors will go into the water and safely remove the bridges, and then they will be dismantled. Basically, they'll be taken apart.
Are they ultimately sold for salvage value in order to try and recoup some money? Because I got to imagine that as heavy as that bridge is, there's significant salvage value.
That's right. There is salvage value that is estimated along with the bridges. They estimate them, the smaller pony bridges at about $35,000, the West Pearl Bridge at about $50,000. So that is the value of the bridge. You know, everything we do here goes out as far as a bidding process. And so that is the estimation on what the cost is. If someone is going to take ownership of the bridges, they end up paying the salvage costs. It comes out of the demolition cost. But here in Louisiana, we're not allowed to give anything of value away as far as our ethics codes. So that salvage value, the value of what it is, actually ends up being something that is paid for, if you would. But, you know, the salvage value is never going to be as high right. as what it would cost, obviously, to take the bridges out.
Exactly. Well, I don't know whose idea it was to stir up interest on this story, but it was a huge success. I don't know if you've ever marketed a bridge in your career before, but you're doing a hell of a job.
Well, I got to give credit to Bob Warren of The Advocate, who saw the notice and contacted me and wrote a real good article on it that really sparked a lot of interest. Yeah. It's been fabulous. It's great that the community is so interested in it, and it's been a huge success. I mean, you end up on the Norman Show. You've really done well. I mean, I'm talking to you about the Historical Bridge Program. It's really outstanding. So, yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Y'all hit all kinds of national news outlets. I was on the internet last night just out of curiosity, seeing if anybody else picked it up around the country. Man, it's a whole bunch of different places talking about, if you want a bridge, head down to Louisiana. They'll sell you some.
So. Well, absolutely. Yeah, it's been thrilling. And again, all the credit goes to the environmental groups within DOTD who work really hard to make this available. And it is fascinating. And hopefully later on you're going to be reporting that we did find some agreements with some individuals or companies, and these bridges will be able to be restored, and people will be able to look at them for now and years from now and say, hey, you know, that's what the bridges looked like in the 1930s. And that those bridges served us for, you know, almost 90 years. So really, really outstanding.
I remember taking my son hunting and crossing that bridge for the first time, and he's like, why is this bridge so narrow? I said, well, that's how they were back then, because when you had oncoming traffic, it felt like you were going to hit head on with them as you were crossing those bridges. So very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, 1930s, when they were designing these things, you have to remember the cars were not exactly as they are today. The amount of traffic was significantly lower. And what happens over time is that we develop new strategies as far as how we design roads, having the shoulders. You know, I grew up here working at the Ilaria Center and going across the old UEP bridge, and you sort of hold your breath. When you would go across that, because it was so narrow. And now, of course, it's been so well designed and redone with how wide it is now. So,
I know people that would not go across the UEP Long Bridge ever. Not on their life would they go across the UEP. They would go the other way.
I actually think
go upriver.
I feel like it's one of the safest bridges ever, because people were paying attention so carefully when they went over. But those Westboro bridges, all of those, they have a significant historical meaning. As you were saying, going across and going hunting, going fishing, a lot of people have a lot of emotional attachments to those bridges. So I think that is why this story has gotten the legs that it has, is because of, you know, the history along the coastline here in Louisiana. It's very important to us.
For sure. Daniel Gitlin, thank you so much for joining us. Public Information Officer in New Orleans Area and North Shore Department of Transportation and Development. Have a great week.
All right, Noel. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks. And new numbers just coming out. Breaking story. The Biden-Harris parole program that we just talked about that they're trying to restart could amnesty up to 500,000 illegal aliens. And these numbers are growing. And as more and more of the ICE and Border Patrol folks speak about what's actually going on, and this is crazy, we're just moving the problems to the ports of entry. No big issue there to see thousands upon thousands of people standing in line, because that's every day USA at the ports of entry. And no longer are drones having to fly in between the ports of entry to see the illegal migrant crossings that are going on, and what some people have referred to as an invasion. And I likened it to the exact same thing under a Republican administration that was done in the aftermath of Katrina. There was a lot of pressure by FEMA to move people from one place to another place to make it harder to be able to fly over and see what was actually going on, with no plan to actually make it better, right? And we did a piece on that a while back. It's the same thing. They just want the blister gone. They don't want to have to respond to the media. They don't want to have to outline a very detailed remedial plan to deal with any of this stuff. They just want to touch the surface, right? As one reporter over the weekend said, we don't really want, why is everybody wanting anybody to talk to the media about stuff? We want to just create a mood. And I guess maybe the American public is totally fine with voting for their next president based on a mood. I'm not. I want to know the facts. I want to know what they're about. I want to know the policy. I want to know who wins, who loses, and why, and how this is going to ultimately play out. Because I can tell you one thing, Kamala Harris has separated herself from Prop 47 in California, but actually she was the one who had to write what was going to appear on the ballot as the Attorney General. You got to read this word salad as to how they describe that. All these savings that were going to help this criminal justice system. Now there looks like the state is willing to repeal Prop 47. It's on the ballot, and folks are getting very nervous about it because their major cities have been destroyed, completely destroyed, as a result of the move to support Prop 47 in the past. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. All right, folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Sheriff Joe Lapinto as it relates to the first 6 months of 2024. They recently released crime stats. We'll talk about that and more when we return. And Joe Geruso joins us at 11:30, and we'll talk about the latest with the Sewage and Water Board billing issues, as well as Entergy outages. So Sheriff Joe Lapinto and Councilman Joe Geruso up in the 11 o'clock hour. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
And new numbers just coming out, breaking story, the Biden-Harris parole program that we just talked about that they're trying to restart could amnesty up to 500,000 illegal aliens. And these numbers are growing. More and more of the ICE and Border Patrol folks speak about what's actually going on, and this is crazy. We're just moving the problems to the ports of entry. No big issue there to see thousands upon thousands of people standing in line, because that's everyday USA at the ports of entry. And no longer are drones having to fly in between the ports of entry to see the illegal migrant crossings that are going on, and what some people have referred to as an invasion. And I likened it to the exact same thing under a Republican administration that was done in the aftermath of Katrina. There was a lot of pressure by FEMA to move people from one place to another place to make it harder to be able to fly over and see what was actually going on, with no plan to actually make it better, right? And we did a piece on that a while back. It's the same thing. They just want the blister gone. They don't want to have to respond to the media. They don't want to have to outline a very detailed remedial plan to deal with any of this stuff. They just want to touch the surface, right? As one reporter over the weekend said, we don't really want... Why is everybody wanting anybody to talk to the media about stuff? We want to just create a mood. And I guess maybe the American public is totally fine with voting for their next president based on a mood. I'm not. I want to know the facts. I want to know what they're about. I want to know the policy. I want to know who wins, who loses, and why, and how this is going to ultimately play out. Because I can tell you one thing, Kamala Harris has separated herself from Prop 47 in California, but actually she was the one who had to write what was going to appear on the ballot as the Attorney General. You got to read this word salad as to how they describe that. All these savings that were going to help this criminal justice system, now there looks like the state is willing to repeal Prop 47. It's on the ballot, and folks are getting very nervous about it because their major cities have been destroyed, completely destroyed, as a result of the move to support Prop 47 in the past. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
All right, folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Sheriff Joe Lapinto as it relates to the first 6 months of 2024. They recently released crime stats. We'll talk about that and more when we return. And Joe Geruso joins us at 11:30, and we'll talk about the latest with the Sewage and Water Board billing issues, as well as Entergy outages. So Sheriff Joe Lapinto and Councilman Joe Geruso up in the 11 o'clock hour. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.